A Reformed Druid Anthology, Volume 1, The Druid Chronicles, Reformed, a.k.a. The Chronicles of the Foundation, written 1963 to 1964 by David Frankquist. The Early Chronicles, Chapter the First. The first of the Chronicles of the Disciples of the Earth Mother, and the various and wondrous events which did occur to them who gave themselves in service to the establishment of the Reform, which branch of the order was in Northfield, which is a city in Minnesota, the southeast part thereof. Peace be unto those whose hope lies in the comfort of the Earth Mother. In those days when Nason was president at Carleton, a decree went out from the administration that all Sundays must be accounted for. So each went to their own place of worship in order that their credit might be established on their record. And it came to pass that there were those among these people who chose to pursue such forms of worship as were not at that time in general acceptance. And one of these was a man named David, who was also a fisher. Now he did appear in the area which is north of the Lake of Lyman, proclaiming the glory which was Druid. And a few there were who listened to him and consulted with him. And it came to pass that when a group of the faithful were gathered on a hill, where there had been set up a small monument in stone, they concluded among themselves that this place should be the new location of an altar, which would be built with the work of their hands out of rough stone. And it also came to be revealed at that time that David, who was a fisher, was a priest in the order of the Druids, and that his rank was that of the third order priest. Now it was decided that there should be a regular service of worship which could be held at the appointed place, and which would be held on the last day of the week, which is Saturday, according to the old custom. All of these things, which have been presently related, did occur during the month of April, which is just before the celebration of Beltane, and that time is generally held to be the time of the beginning of the Reform. Chapter the Second. And it came to pass that when the celebration of Beltane, which is the first day of the month of May, was held, there was not yet completed the altar which was to be built of stone, according to the plan which had been adopted by the faithful. And so it was that an altar which was small and portable and made out of steel came to be used for the service, and it was generally agreed that it was indeed an inferior type of altar. Thus, a group of disciples began to assemble the rough stones which were necessary to build the new altar. And although their numbers were small in the beginning, those who did lend their help did increase until their number was nearly doubled. Now when the last stones had been laid in the altar, the priest did step back from it, and did look upon it, and he said, "It is good. We shall hold services here around it today after the noon," for it was Saturday. And the altar did measure about 2 cubits high, and about 2 cubits wide, and about 3 cubits long. And it came to pass that there were in number about 12 people who did gather at the altar that day, and who did partake of the waters of life. After the waters of life had been passed, Howard, who was called Cherniak, did rise up, for he was a preceptor and of the second order, and he did read to them from a paper. The purpose of this paper was to establish for them a constitution. So when the reading had been completed, the Archdruid, for such was the priest to be called, did ask those who were gathered if they did approve. Now all who were present did give their assent, save one who was not yet of the first order. And it came to pass that when the question was again asked on the week following, all did again approve, save one who did not disapprove of the paper. And so it was considered unanimous. And so after the paper had been accepted in this manner, the congregation of the disciples was then known as the Reformed Druids. Chapter the Third. Now after the paper had been read on the first Saturday after the celebration of Beltane, it was perceived that the sky was covered by clouds, and this was not good for a Saturday evening. Thus did the Archdruid go and kneel before the altar and invoke the Earth Mother, asking for a clearing of the weather. And the Earth Mother did look upon the congregation of the faithful, and did look upon the altar which had been built to her glory, and saw that it was good. And behold, there was a great wind in the sky, And it did blow from the sky in the space of less than 2 hours all of the clouds, yea, even the last vestige thereof. And the sun shone brightly in the sky, and this was taken to be a sign. But some there were in the area who did scoff, for their hearts were hardened. And they did conspire, saying, Let us tear down the stones from the altar which has been built on the hill. And they did go in secret to the altar, and did tear at the altar, each with his bare hands, and did take therefrom the stones which had been set there, yea, even down to the foundation thereof. And the Earth Mother did look upon this with disfavor, for it was the defilement of the altar which had been built to her glory. And so it came to pass that in the same day, even as the last stones were being removed, a storm did gather, and there was thunder and lightning and rain. And it was exceedingly cold, and the clouds did not leave the skies for a period of 4 days. And this also was taken to be a sign. Chapter the Fourth. And it came to pass that when those of the faithful who had built the altar, each one with their bare hands, did find that the altar had been defiled, they did rend the air with their lamentations. And they did set themselves therefore to the task of once again building the altar, that is, of rebuilding it, and they did set each stone in the place which had been appointed to it. And as they did complete their task, the sun did make a brief appearance unto them from the midst of those clouds which were covered over the sky. And each took this to be a sign, each in their own way. Now after the work was the second time completed, those whose purpose it was to do evil unto the altar did come a second time also. And they did come in the darkness of the night, for they were the Antidruids. Now then, these Antidruids did come, their coming being covered by the darkness of the night. They did come with the smell of drink heavy upon them. Yea, were they so filled with drink that they were under the influence thereof. And they did pull at the stones of the altar. Yea, did they tear at the altar with their bare hands. And they did pull the stones away, one from the other. Now as the Antidruids did defile the altar in this manner, one of their number did shout in his loudest voice, Blasphemy! Blasphemy! For so was he under the power of strong drink. And it came to pass that the faithful did perceive that the altar had once again been attacked by the hand of violence. Then did they again rend the air with their lamentation, so great was their grief. Wherefore they did set to the task which was before them, which was the task of placing the stones the third time in their proper places. But they did fix them there this time with mortar, that they might not be wrested therefrom by the hand of the Antidruid. And a curse was placed on the altar. And the Archdruid spake unto the Druids assembled, saying, Verily I say unto you, whosoever findeth him who hath done this thing, be he admonished to do whatsoever he will to make for him his life miserable. And it came to pass that it was made known to them that one of the Antidruids had come to twist his ankle, yea, even to sprain it. And this was taken to be a sign. Chapter the Fifth. And it came to pass that the time was near at hand for the altar to be consecrated. Now it was the custom that when an altar was to be consecrated, that a sacrifice should be made upon it, which sacrifice should be of a living thing, yea, a thing which doth testify to the bounty of the Earth Mother. And the purpose of this sacrifice is to consecrate the altar. But behold, there did arise a dispute among the Druids concerning this sacrifice which was to be made upon the altar. For there were some among them who were in favor of a small sacrifice, and some who were persuaded that the sacrifice should be a large one. Those being in favor of the small sacrifice having a desire that it be the living leaves and branches of a tree. Those being in favor of the large sacrifice having a desire that it be of the living flesh and blood of an animal or bird. Wherefore, there did ensue a dispute among them concerning the manner in which this sacrifice should be made. And it came to pass that Howard, who is preceptor, did arise and he spake unto them, saying, Have ye not forgotten that we are reformed? Yea, even do we call ourselves by the name reformed. Wherefore, we must put behind us those things which do bring offense to our senses. For Howard was one of them who were in favor of the small sacrifice. But another did arise, who did call himself Jan, for he was in favor of the sacrifice of an animal. And he spake unto them, saying, Have ye not forgotten the customs of old, which were the customs of our predecessors before us? Verily I say unto you, nothing will be acceptable to the earth mother, save it were nothing smaller than an animal or fowl, yea, even a chicken. Wherefore there was about to occur a great schism between those on the one hand who were of the first faction, and those on the other hand who were of the second faction. And they were exceedingly wroth one with the other. But behold, Jan did rise up and relent his position, asking that neither flesh nor blood be spilt upon the altar. For he did perceive that they were not strong enough, and that such a schism would be their end. Wherefore he did relent, that the schism might not take place. And it came to pass that the altar was consecrated by the burning of living leaves and branches of a tree. And it came to pass that the altar was consecrated on the third Saturday after the celebration of Beltane, which is the first day of the month of May. Chapter the 6th. Now it came to pass that on the fourth Saturday after the celebration of Beltane, it came to be decided that petition be made to the authorities, that is, the administration, concerning the recognition of the activities of the Druids. And it came to pass that there were many among them who did approve, for they were in number about 80. And each went and prepared their petition in the manner that was prescribed by the administration. But behold, there were then returned notices which did say, Thy actions are not acceptable in our sight. Wherefore Howard, who is preceptor, did go up unto the authorities, saying, Do ye not see that there are many like us which go by strange creeds? And he was answered, Yea, verily do we see that there are many like ye which do go by strange creeds. Neither ye nor they are acceptable in our sight. And Howard spake, saying, By what method do ye judge? And he was answered, We are chosen that we should be judges. Yea, even do we judge according to our judgments. But there were two of the petitions which were not rejected, for they were the domain of a different authority. And this was taken to be a good sign. Chapter the 7th. Now on the fifth Saturday after the celebration of Beltane, the Druids were assembled as usual. After the waters of life had been passed, the Archdruid spake unto them, saying, Behold how our altar is attacked on the one side, and our recognition is rejected on the other. Are we not afflicted even as our predecessors before us? Our predecessors of old did take up the sword and fight with those who afflicted them, but they were defeated. Wherefore we must not take up the sword, but remain tolerant and patient in our afflictions that there might be peace. And he spake, saying, Behold, this is the last time we shall be together for a long time. The time is at hand when we shall depart, each of us going his own separate way. Behold the flowers of the earth and the beauty thereof. And behold the sky and the clouds and the beauty thereof. And behold the handiwork of the earth mother and the beauty thereof. Be ye firm in the faith, and as ye go your separate ways, take time to pause before the glory of the earth mother, which is nature. And fail not to meditate on that which has been said and done here, yea, even as the sun does reach its height in the north, which is midsummer and an important day with us, should ye meditate on these things. For verily I say unto you, when the sun crosses the equator, shall ye be again reunited here with these thy brethren. And each went his own way, glorifying the earth mother, and singing her praises. Yea, even unto the very ends of the land did they journey, praising the beauty of all that is to be found in the earth and sky. Now these are the records which have been made to the glory and the honor of the earth mother. Praise be to the earth mother for the beauty which is in her, in the earth, and in the sky. All the birds of the air and the animals of the ground are testimony to her excellence. Even as the dawn of the new day brings new light, there is new hope. Peace. The Book of the Law, Chapter the 1st. The Book of the Law, as revealed by the Reformed Druids, in council at Carleton College, for the purpose of making more fruitful their existence. And it came to pass that they did take upon themselves a name, which is the Reformed Druids of North America. And it came to be revealed that any person could become a member of them. but any who would become a member would be first required to submit humbly a petition, which petition is a declaration of their subscribing to the basic tenets. And this petition may be written with the pen, or it may be spoken aloud with the mouth. Now the basic tenets of Reformed Druidism are these: the object of the search for religious truth, which is a universal and a never-ending search, may be found through the Earth Mother, which is nature, but this is one way, yea, one way among many. And great is the importance, which is of a spiritual importance, of nature, which is the Earth Mother, for it is one of the objects of creation, and with it men do live, yea, even as they struggle through life, do they come face to face with it. Now there shall be instituted in the grove 3 officers whose duty it shall be to minister to the needs thereof. And first among them shall be the Archdruid, who shall be a priest of the 3rd order or higher, and the Archdruid shall preside over the Druids assembled. And second among them shall be the Preceptor, who shall be a Druid of the 2nd order or higher, and he or she shall deal with the spiritual, insofar as directed by the Archdruid. But she or he shall act foremost in affairs not of the spiritual, that is, the secular. And third among them shall be the server, who shall be of the 1st order of the Druids or higher. And she or he shall assist in the Archdruid insofar as she or he may be called to serve. And none shall serve in these positions, save it shall be that she or he is selected by the members. And none shall serve, save it shall be that she or he is worthy to serve, and selection shall be made each year during the period of 4. This is the law which was revealed, but it is not all, for there is yet more. And no thing shall be revealed, save it shall be to a majority of the faithful. And no thing shall be revealed, save it shall be revealed twice, that is, at 2 meetings, the 2nd, which shall be first to be held after the 1st. And no thing shall be revealed, save it shall be when 1/3 are present to bear witness unto it. Yea, and this record is a true one, and an accurate one. Peace. The Customs of the Druids. Chapter the 1st. Now it was the custom among the Druids, who were reformed, that at every meeting of the congregation, the waters of life should be passed to those present. Now they who subscribe to the basic tenets of Reformed Druidism, as prescribed in the Book of the Law, they are accepted into the body of Druidism, which is the organizational body of Druidism only. But they who partake of the waters of life in communion with the congregation, they are accepted into the great body of Druidism, which is the spiritual body of Druidism only. But the whole and complete body of Druidism consists neither of the organizational body only, nor of the spiritual body only, but of the both of them, which are then in whole and complete union. Wherefore they who have been accepted into the organizational body only are not of the whole body of Druidism. Whereas they who have been accepted into the spiritual body of Druidism and also into the organizational body thereof is thus accepted into the whole and complete body of the membership of the Reformed Druids, and are thenceforth called by them a Druid of the 1st order. Chapter the 2nd. O Earth Mother, we praise thee that seed springeth, that flower openeth, that grass waveth. We praise thee for winds that whisper through the graceful elm, through the shapely maple, through the lively pine, through the shining birch, through the mighty oak. We praise thee for all things, O Earth Mother, who givest life. Chapter the 3rd. Now there are some among the congregations of the faithful who shall be set aside from the others as better, for they it is who have been chosen to serve the Earth Mother and do her work. And none shall be chosen save they shall be pure in spirit, and save they shall have bowed themselves down in humility before the powers which are manifested in the Earth Mother. And none shall be chosen, save they shall be imbued with the spirit of the love of the service of the Earth Mother. For those who are chosen to be honored are chosen also to be elevated to the 2nd order, which is in the succession to the priesthood of the Druids. And those who have been chosen shall be questioned, and they shall be questioned in the following manner. Do you, in full consciousness, promise to serve faithfully the Earth Mother, ministering to her followers, and following your duties as a druid of the Second Order to the best of your ability? Do you understand from whence comes the source of all life, and the nature of the source of all life? Do you understand the partaking of the waters of life, and the sacrifice of life that we offer up to our mother? Are you ready, then, to be sealed up to the service of the Earth Mother? And none shall be honored with the Second Order, save they shall answer the questions in the proper manner. And none shall be elevated, save they shall partake of the waters of life in communion with the Archdruid, and save they shall partake of them to the fullest extent. These are the things which are prescribed, for so it must be done. Thus it was, and thus it is, and thus it is to be. Chapter the Fourth. Now these are the commandments which were given concerning the observance of those days which were considered sacred to the Druids. Ye shall observe always the festival of Samhain, for it is the beginning of the period of Gevra, and also of the year. This day ye shall celebrate by the lighting of great fires, for soon is the land to become cold in the time of apparent death. Ye shall celebrate on the day of midwinter, for on that day doth the sun begin to again rise in the south. So shall ye celebrate it with the burning of logs and making merry. So also shall ye make merry on the day of Imulk, which is the first day of the period of Arach. And on these days shall ye glorify the mistletoe and the evergreen, for it is a living testimony to the continuance of life, yea, even in the midst of a dead world. Of great importance is the festival of Beltane, which is at the beginning of Saura. Then shall ye observe great ceremony, and with the kindling of large fires on the hilltops, and the glorification of the renewed tree shall ye celebrate the renewed life. Ye shall take note of the decline of the sun in the sky, which doth begin on the day of midsummer. Ye shall light your fires and let them die in token of the great fire which doth roll down in the sky, even as a ball doth roll down a hill. Lunasa, which is the beginning of the period of Foar, shall ye mark by coming together in groups in order that ye might feast upon the fruits of the Earth Mother. And then shall ye offer up the sacrifice unto your prosperity. Chapter the Fifth. Also shall ye observe the periods of the moon, the dates thereof when it is full and when it is new. For thus is seen reflected in the birth and death, the growth and diminishing of all that is to be seen in nature. Ye shall begin new projects when the moon is waxing, but ye shall end old ones when it is waning. And on the night of the full moon shall ye rejoice in the fullness of it, but on the night of the new moon shall ye be given over to vigils and to meditation. When ye come together that ye might worship, shall ye come together in nature, that ye might offer up on the altar of stone your sacrifice of life. Then shall ye pass amongst you the waters of life, that ye may know the continual flow and renewal of life. For they shall taste of the very essence of life, hallowed in the bosom of the earth, and purified by the worship of druids. And when all have partaken of the waters of life, then ye shall pour a libation of it on the altar, saying as ye do it, To thee we return this portion of thy bounty, O our mother, even as we must return to thee. Then shall ye go forth into the world, secure in the knowledge that your sacrifice has found acceptance in the Earth Mother's sight. Peace, peace, peace. Chapter the Sixth. Behold, there is not one among you who is greater than they who have given of themselves in service to you. For it is for this reason that the priests among you have been called to their station, that they might serve you. And none shall be called except that they have sealed themselves up to the grove. And none shall be called except that they have been druids of the Second Order. And none shall be called except that they have dedicated themselves to the search for truth in nature. And none shall be called except that they have kept the vigil upon the bosom of the Earth Mother. This is the Third Order, the Order of the Priesthood, the Order of Dalan ap Landu. Unto it shall be given the consecration of the waters of life. Unto it shall be given the consecration of the Second Order. Unto it shall be given the sacrificing of life. Unto it shall be given the mysteries of the worship of the Earth Mother. For even as priests are called unto it, shall they also call others. Chapter the 7th. A Response at Samhain. Ea, Lord, Ea, Mother, Thou with uncounted names and faces, Thou of the many-faceted nature, in and above all, to Thee we sing our chants of praise. Go Thou not from us. Dalan Aplandu, Lord of this and all groves, mover by night and by day, descend not beneath the earth. Turn not Thy pleasing face from us. Go Thou not from us. The leaves wither, the trees and fields are barren. On what can we depend? Where is Thy order? Where is Thy strength? Depart not from our midst. Sleep not, O Most High. The sun, the bright fire of day, withdraws his chariot. His face is veiled with clouds, and the breath of the north wind walks the land. Return to us his warmth. Lo, we are as wraiths. Our fire is turned to ashes, and darkness walks the land. Preserve us, O Spirit of Day. Keep us in thy mind, O Spirit of Power. O Earth Mother, guide our paths. If thou wilt leave us, save us through the time of silence. Keep bright within our hearts till spring. So let it be, O our Mother, for we are faithful and would keep thy ways. Chapter the 8th. Behold, there are some among you whose reflections and whose deeds are of exceedingly great merit, and they shall be selected for the great honor of the high orders of the priesthood. And they shall be selected by the patriarchs or matriarchs, each to his or her own order. The council of the third order, of Dalan Aplandu, shall select the patriarch or matriarch of the fourth order, of Granos. And also the council of the fourth order shall select the patriarch or matriarch of the fifth order, of Brachiaca. And also the council of the fifth order shall select the patriarch or matriarch of the sixth order, of Belenos. And also the council of the sixth order shall select the patriarch or matriarch of the seventh order, of Serona. And also the council of the seventh order shall select the patriarch or matriarch of the eighth order, of Tyrannus. And also the council of the eighth order shall select the patriarch or matriarch of the ninth order, of Lear. And the council of the order of Lear shall have dominion over the selection of the patriarch or matriarch of the tenth order, the highest of them, which is the order dedicated unto Danu. For such are the orders of the priesthood, and so are they also dedicated. And no one shall be patriarch or matriarch of more than one order, for no one can be so dedicated. The following three verses have been effectively nullified by resolution in the Council of Dalan Aplandu on May 1, 1971. These three verses are retained here for historical purposes. But no priestess shall be admitted to the councils of the priesthood, but rather she shall be given unto one of them as a gift of service to beauty. For she who is called to be a priest shall be sealed up unto the order only, and unto her shall be given the service of it for all time. And she shall be called a priest not of the order, but rather a priest unto the order. Thus end the nullified verses. The priestesses consecrated prior to that time were retroactively given full and complete recognition. For so it is written, thus it was, thus it is, and thus it is to be. Chapter the 9th. An Incantation. Fain we ask Erin, faring o'er oceans, motions to mountains, fountains and bowers, showers, rills rushing, gushing waves welling, swelling streams calling, falling foam thunder, under lakes filling, willing abiding, riding rounds holding, olden fairs meetly, fleet to lift loyal, royal king's towers, bowers for crowning, frowning foes over, rover mills warlike, star-like suns therein, Erin shall longer, stronger show honor, on our Milesians, wishing in trouble, noble isles wooing, suing we stay here, pray here to sail in, wailing maids royal, loyal chief leaders, pleader blend prayer in, so we seek Erin. Chapter the 10th. Invocation. I invoke the land of Erin. Much coursed be the fertile sea. Fertile be the fruit-strewn mountain. Fruit-strewn be the showery wood. Showery be the river of waterfalls. Of waterfall be the lake of deep pools. Deep-pooled be the hilltop well. A well of tribes be the assembly. An assembly of kings be Tamer. Tamer be a hill of tribes. The tribes of the sons of Mil. Of Mil of the ships the barks. Let the lofty bark be Erin. Lofty Erin, darkly smug, an incantation of great cunning. The great cunning of the waves of Bress. The wives of Bress, of Boinya, the great lady of Erin. Ahriman hath conquered her. Ir, Eber, I conquered for her. I invoke the land of Erin. Chapter the 11th. The Mystery. I am the wind which breathes on the sea. I am the wave of the ocean. I am the murmur of the willows. I am the ox of the seven combats. I am the vulture upon the rocks. I am a beam of the sun. I am the fairest of plants. I am a wild boar in valor. I am a salmon in the water. I am a lake in the plain. I am a word of knowledge. I am the point of a lance in battle. I am the God who created in the head the fire. Who is it who throws light into the meeting on the mountain? Who announces the ages of the moon? Who teaches the place where couches the sun, if not I? Peace. The Latter Chronicles, Chapter the First. The Chronicles of the Acts of the Remnant after the Faithful were scattered over the face of the land, which record is a true and an accurate one of the Reformed Druids of North America. Now it came to pass that on the fifth Saturday before the festival of Samhain, a number of the faithful did gather on the hill where the altar had been built in the period of Salra. And this was to fulfill the prophecy which had been made. For verily I say unto you, ye shall be reunited here with these thy brethren. And they did perceive that the altar which had been built did still stand upon the hill where it had been built. And all did wonder, yea, they did marvel that the altar had been preserved in their absence from the hand of the Anti-Druid. And this was taken to be a sign. But it came to pass that not all of the faithful had returned, for there was only a remnant that did come back. Jan, who is one of the faithful who was of the second order, and one of those who did not return, but who did choose to remain in a distant place to there continue in the work of the Earth Mother, did send unto them an epistle. And this epistle was then brought to the faithful by the hand of Norman, who is server. And Norman did reveal unto them the epistle which had been written by the hand of Jan. And Jan did admonish them in the epistle to remain strong in the faith, and he did express to them his desire that the reform should gain in strength. Chapter the Second. And it came to pass that the Archdruid was one day walking in the woods, and he was sore perplexed, for it did happen to begin to rain. And he was exceedingly wroth, so that he did feel tempted to utter a vile curse. And it came to pass that he did so utter a vile curse, for such was his wrath. And this curse which he did utter was a vile curse, which did call down the wrath of the Earth Mother. Yea, even did it call upon the power of the Earth Mother. And it came to pass that when he had spoken, there was a period of time which did last no longer than the space of a few seconds, and it passed. And suddenly there did occur a most horrible sound, and a blinding light did fill the sky about. For behold, all the power of Tyrannus was caused to be unleashed, and it did fly as a spear, and did strike a tree which was rooted in the earth. And behold, from the tree to the Archdruid there was a space of not more than 15 cubits in length, and he was sore afraid. So he did go back among the faithful, and did say unto them, curse not in the name of the Earth Mother, for verily I say unto you, ye know not what it is that ye say. And when he had told them of these things which he had seen and heard, they did marvel at it, and it was taken by them to be a sign. Chapter the Third. It came to pass that the Druids did continue to meet and pass the waters of life for the period of 1 month. but they did become anxious because there were left only a remnant of them. Nevertheless, they did not come to be discouraged, for the size of their numbers did come to increase, though it was not by a very great amount. And their efforts did continue to be thwarted, for the authorities had hardened their hearts against them. Chapter the Fourth. But behold, it came to pass that they were gathered together on the hill by the altar on the Saturday before the eve of Samhain. And it came to pass that there did gather on the hill a multitude of people, the number of them being great than any which had ever been gathered at any other time. Wherefore the faithful did rejoice greatly, for they did see that it was not all come to naught, but that the truth was now spread among the people. And they did behold the success of the reform, and they were glad in their hearts. And the archdruid did look upon the great number who were gathered, and he said, "It is good." And he spake unto them, and he did welcome them, and he did tell them the wondrous things which were to occur on the eve of Samhain, which was near at hand. Chapter the Fifth. Now it did come to pass that the eve of Samhain did approach, and the moon was full. And they did gather in the light of the full moon, and did come together in the usual spot, which was upon the hill near the altar. And there was a multitude of them, being all in greater than 110 in number. The archdruid did then offer up the sacrifice of life, but it was not accepted, for behold, the night of Samhain was at hand. Wherefore they did pass among them the waters, but they were not the waters of life, but rather the waters of sleep, for there was no life in them. And a great wailing did go up among them, for they did lament the ending of the summer and the beginning of the winter season. The archdruid did then light his torch, and he did carry it before all those gathered, as they did begin the pilgrimage. And they did all follow the torch, making their way to the grove, which was a grove of oak. And when they had arrived at the grove of oak, the archdruid did take the torch, and light with it the fire. And so the flames did rise up out of the fire, testifying to the glory of Belenos. And all were cheered by it. Now the archdruid did ask all who were gathered, that they might sit upon the earth in the fashion of a great circle, each holding the hand of the one next to them, and he did ask that they might examine their souls, and speak such as they felt they ought to tell the others. And there did follow a period of silence, which was exceeding long. And behold, some did begin to speak, and their voices were lifted up above the crackling fire in the silence of the grove. And one did prophesy much, at times speaking in tongues, and then saying, "Someone is dead. I see a great many people in a large circular room there, but they need not be afraid. Everything is going to be all right." And behold, another did speak, saying, "I see 3 stones on a black sky." And many other great and wonderful things were spoken, for it was the eve of Samhain. Now as the fire did die down, many did begin to leave the grove, but some there were who did stay, and who did undertake to jump over the fire 7 times each, thereby ensuring their luck in the coming season. And when the fire had died down to ashes, they did all depart, and the moon was full. Chapter the Sixth. Now it came to pass that it was not long after the feast of Samhain, when the chief of all the land did go out in a long procession among the people of the land. And as he passed among them, a man who was his enemy did attack him. And behold, the chief of all the land was smitten by the hand of his attacker, and he was slain. And a great crying, and also a great wailing, did go up from all the people. And it came to pass that the body of the chief of all the land was taken up to the principal city of the land, and there was placed in the chief building, in the great circular room thereof. But among the druids, there were those who were sore afraid at these events, for they did say among themselves, "Behold, for this is now the fulfillment of the prophecy of the night of Samhain. For it is now all come to pass as it was spoken." And they did marvel at it, for it was taken to be a sign. Now it came to pass that during the periods of Gevra and Arach, the earth did have the appearance of death, for the wind of the north did sweep over the land, and barrenness did settle upon the branches of the wood. And there were during this time no meetings of the druids, for there was no rejoicing in the time of sleep. But it came to pass that the Druids did come together to celebrate the coming of the period of Arach, which is the festival of Imulc. And they did rejoice that the time was half past in its course from Samhain to Beltane. And there was a man who came unto them at the time who was called John the Messenger. And he came from across the sea from the land of Erin. And he brought unto them writings which were of the ancients, the incantations of Erin. Chapter the 7th. Now it came to pass that the festival of Beltane was near at hand, so the Druids did go up on the hill of their altar, that they might see that all was in order. And it came to pass that they did come upon the hill, which was the one upon which was their altar. And they did look upon the altar which was there. And they did say one to the other, Behold, our altar has not well weathered the periods of Gevra and Arach. And they did say one to the other, Let us now go and fetch great stones, and place them together in a new altar, which shall be the greatest of all altars which we have built. Wherefore, they did go and fetch great stones, and they did bring them to the place of the altar, and they did begin to place them together in their proper places, according to the shapes thereof. And each druid did work at the building of the altar with his bare hands, and they did fix the stones of the altar in their places with mortar, that they might not be wrested therefrom again by the hand of the anti-druid. And when they had completed the altar, they did stand back from it and rejoice in its completion, for it was the finest of all the altars which had been built. And the altar was about 4 cubits long, and about 3 cubits wide, and about 3 cubits high. And there was a passage through the center of it which did extend from the top of the altar down to the very bottom thereof, and through it could pass the smoke of the altar fires. And it came to pass that they did become apprehensive, for they did perceive that the mortar was still not dry. And they did say, Behold, the mortar is not yet dry, and the anti-druid will come and he will tear the stones from their places in the altar before they have been fixed there by the drying of the mortar. And they were sore afraid. But it came to pass that one of them did step forward, and his name was David the Chronicler. And he did offer himself for the purpose of guarding the altar. And he did take it upon himself to stay by the altar until the mortar had dried. And as he sat by the altar, did he see the sun go down in the west, and all the majesty of the heavens were opened unto him. And he did keep his vigil upon the bosom of the earth mother, as the moon did rise in the east, and yet as it did set in the west. And behold, as the sun did rise again in the east, and all the earth was bathed in the warmth thereof, the archdruid did come up on the hill of the altar. And they did kneel before the altar, and the archdruid did consecrate David, who was the chronicler, as a priest of the order of Dallan ap Lando. Chapter the 8th. Now it came to pass that the festival of Beltane was near at hand, so the druids did go up on the hill of their altar, that they might see that all was in order. And when they had come to the place of the altar, they did find it not, and they did find there not even the least stone thereof. For behold, all that was the altar had disappeared, yea, even the last vestige thereof. And they did perceive that the altar had been again destroyed by the hand of the anti-druids. And this was the fourth time that the altar had been defiled by the anti-druids. And this was the most complete and utter destruction that had yet come to pass, for they had destroyed it with hammer and chisel and all manner of terrible weapon. And it came to pass that a great wailing and moaning did go up, and the air was rent by the lamentation of the druids. But behold, they did go up from that place, and they did celebrate the festival of Beltane. For even in the midst of their misfortune did they rejoice in the return of spring, and in the abundance of life which is the perpetual gift of the Earth Mother. And they did go up upon the hill which was a short way off, and at the top of the hill they did find a grove of 3 oaks. And they did rejoice in the renewal of the flow of the waters of life, and they did pour a libation of them upon the rock which they did find upon the hill where the 3 oaks did stand strong against the dark sky. And that place came to be revered among the druids, for it was the place of refuge in the time of their troubles. And they did call that place the Hill of the 3 oaks. Chapter the 9th. Now it came to pass that in the time after the festival of Beltane, which is in the period of Saura, Norman, who had been server, did go up unto the Hill of the 3 oaks, And he did go up unto the hill of Three Oaks in order that he might better appreciate the wonders of the Earth Mother, which were to be beheld there. And it came to pass that he did remain there until darkness had fallen over all the land around. And behold, the firmament was opened up unto him, and he did behold the glory of it. And he did continue to make his vigil until the dawn. And it came to pass that as the sun rose in the east, he was met by the priests of Dallan Ap Landu, who had come up unto the hill of the Three Oaks. And they did consecrate Norman, who had been server, to Dallan Ap Landu. And it came to pass that after Norman had become priest of the order of Dallan Ap Landu, the priests of the order of Dallan Ap Landu did gather together in council. And the council of Dallan Ap Landu did call upon David, who was a fisher, and did declare him patriarch of the order of Granos, which is the first of the patriarchs, and with all the powers thereof. And it came to pass that the patriarch of the order of Granos did call upon those who were priests of Dallan Ap Landu, and he did consecrate them unto Granos, priests of the fourth order. And it came to pass that the priests of the order of Granos did gather together in council. And the council of Granos did call upon Norman, who had been server, and declared him to be patriarch of Brachiaca, with all the powers thereof. And it came to pass that the patriarch of the order of Brachiaca did call upon the priests of Granos, and he did consecrate them unto Brachiaca, priests of the fifth order. And it came to pass that the priests of the order of Brachiaca did gather together in council. And the council of Brachiaca did call upon David the chronicler, and declared him to be patriarch of Belenos, with all powers thereof. And it came to pass that the patriarch of the order of Belenos did call upon those who were priests of Brachiaca, and he did consecrate them unto Belenos, priests of the sixth order. Chapter the 10th. Now it came to pass that in those days a decree went out from the authorities, and they did declare to be abolished the regulations which had been placed upon the worship of those at Carleton. And behold, a great rejoicing did go up from all the land for the wonders which had come to pass, and all the earth did burst forth into song in the hour of salvation. And in the time of exaltation, the fulfillment of their hopes, the Druids did sing the praises of the Earth Mother. O Earth Mother, we praise thee. In all that we do, we praise thee. In our getting up and our lying down, in our sleeping and in our waking, in our eating and in our drinking, in our working and in our times of leisure. For we are alive only through thee, and in our every act do we praise thee. O Earth Mother, we praise thee. In all that we see do we praise thee. In the sky and the sea, and the hills and the plains, in the clouds and the stars, the moon and the sun, in the birds and the flowers, the butterflies and the myriad-colored fishes. We praise thee with our admiration of the sunset and of the mountains, of the trees and of the streams. For thou hast made all things, and for all we see do we praise thee. O Earth Mother, we praise thee. In all that we hear and smell and feel and taste do we praise thee. In the song of the birds and the roar of the sea, in the perfumes of the flowers and freshness of a summer rain, in the softness of a kitten and the coolness of a lake, in the sweetness of honey and in the savor of fruits. For all that we hear and smell and feel and taste is of thee, and for all sensible do we praise thee. O Earth Mother, we praise thee. For all that we love do we praise thee, for the love of our parents and for the love of others. For the act and emotion of love is an act and emotion of praise, and in loving do we praise thee. O Earth Mother, we praise thee. In our meditations and services do we praise and think upon thy works and power. O Earth Mother, we praise thee. In all the world do we praise thee. From the east to the west do we praise thee, and from the nadir to the zenith do we praise thee. We praise thee in the day and in the night, in all the seasons of the year, and in the myriad of years. We praise thee, knowing and unknowing, believing and of little faith. For thou hast made all and art all, and we can praise and admire nothing without praising and admiring thee. O Earth Mother, we praise thee. Peace, Peace, peace. The Book of Meditations, Chapter the First. I was standing alone, and behold, I heard my name called, and I went. And I had been called to a place where there was a great fire, and the flames of the fire did rise as high as the tops of the trees. Near the fire stood a man, and he said unto me, Follow me. And I followed him. Now he went far into the darkness of the night, and I followed him to an open space in the forest, which was like a small valley. He said to me, Behold. And I looked where it was that he had pointed, and there was a pile of sticks. And he said to me, Here you will stay, and do not allow sleep to overtake you, but keep open your ears that you might hear. And again he said, Behold. And I looked where he had pointed, and I saw there a small fire. And he said, Take from the fire a brand. Now I went to the fire, and took a burning brand from it, and returned to where the man had stood. But behold, he had disappeared. So I took the brand, and lit with it the sticks. And I sat down to listen and to meditate. And I did not sleep. And behold, I did hear my name called, and I answered. And a voice came out of the darkness, and bade me not sleep, but rather to examine my soul. And behold, this did happen twice. And I was alone, but I did not any longer feel alone. And as I watched my fire and contemplated the warmth and the light of it, behold, the sun did come up in the east, and I was bathed in the light and the warmth of it. And I had not slept, but I had seen things that I had not seen, and I had heard things that I had not heard, and I had felt things that I had not felt. And I arose and left that place, glorifying Baal and the work of his hand, for I had seen the Earth Mother. Chapter the Second. How wonderful are the works of Baal! How beautiful are all the things which are in the earth, which are on the face of the earth, and which are above the earth, in the sky! How beautiful are the flowers of the earth, and the birds of the air! How beautiful are the stars and the moon, and the reflection of them upon the waters! For these things are of Baal, and not of man. For thus saith the Earth Mother, The groves of the forest are my temples, and the trees of the groves are my icons. And the branches of the trees are my sacred scepters, and the green leaves of the branches are my sacrifice, which is a living sacrifice up unto beauty. Yea, how excellent are all these things, for they are created of Baal, and they are not of man. Wherefore, they are sacred before us. Chapter the Third. Behold the rocks of the mountains, and the trees above the grass waving. This is the Earth Mother. Behold the ocean on the right, and the sea on the left, and the mighty river which is but a trickle. This is the Earth Mother. Behold the blue which is day, and the black which is the night, salted with the stars all above. Even this is the Earth Mother. The Earth Mother is one. The sun is her right eye, the moon her left, and the clouds are her silver hair. The rivers are her fingers, the oceans are cradled in her hands as a child. For the Earth Mother is all which is revealed unto our sight, and which our ears do perceive, and which we do touch as we reach out with our hands. For the Earth Mother is all things which do make themselves apparent to our senses. She is disorder, ordered. She is power, impotent. She is ugliness, beautiful. And Baal, he is cradled in the bosom of the Earth Mother, and the eye of Baal has entirely encompassed her. Chapter the Fourth. He is that which we have seen, not with the eyes, and we have called him Baal. And we have heard that which he is, not with our ears, for his name we have called Baal. The taste which he leaves is not in the mouth. The odor of his presence is not sensed in the nose. We have reached out and touched, feeling his essence, though never with our fingers. We have cried out in our anguish, our sublime anguish, and we have called his name, yea, one name among many, and we have called him Baal. For our knowledge of him is as that of the form in the fog which has no form. We see it, and there is more of it that which we do not see, but it is. Baal is. Yea, Baal is one, even as he is many. He has gathered the worlds in his net, even as they also have drawn him to them. For all things are delivered unto him. His glories are many. Yea, as are many the names we have given him accordingly, as his glories are manifested unto us. We have seen him on the bosom of the earth mother, huge woody arms raised to the sky in adoration, strong and alive, and we have called his name Dalan Aplandu. Of his goodness we have tasted. Yea, we have drunk of the fruits of the earth mother which he hath poured out before us, and his name we have called Brachiaca. We have seen him in the surf, beating his fists against the shore, and his vast body stretching to the horizon, and we have called his name Lear. His voice we have heard thundering in the heavens, his power we have seen flash across the sky, and his name we have called Tyrannus. Out of the bowels of the earth has he poured forth the water of his life, soothing, healing. His name is Granos. We have seen his smile, bright, radiant, raining glory and warmth down upon the bosom of the earth, from his seat on high in the midst of the blue heaven, and we have called his name Belenos. And the other faces of Baal also have been turned kindly toward us. Merrily, merrily, bubbling, gurgling, we have seen her dancing over the rocks, down to her marriage with Lear, and her name we have called Serona. We have seen her laugh with the young baby, fly with the bird, burst forth her abundance with the corn. In all that hath breath and life have we seen her good face, and her name is Danu the Bountiful. Chapter the 5th. Ye have seen the glory which is day, and the rising of the sun, and also the wonder which is night. And what greater thing is there? Ye have seen the power of the floods and the tides, and what greater thing is there? Yea, even have ye seen the bosom of the earth rent in twain, and fire and brimstone poured forth out of the bowels thereof. And what thing is there which is greater? Verily I say unto you, consider the small creatures of the forest, which scamper gaily from bush to bush. Are not they more wonderful than these other things? Consider even the dainty flower. How exalted is the glory of it! For these are possessed of the greatest and most wonderful of all of the gifts of the Earth Mother, which gift is that of life. Wherefore consider this tree, which ye have selected for the great size thereof. For this tree is possessed of great age. Great is the abundance of life which is in it, and which has passed through it. Wherefore ye have raised up your praises unto it. For ye have offered up your worship unto this in which life is great, that your worship of the greatness thereof might be multiplied in the tree. This tree is your bile. For without life is there nothing which is anything. The sun is as darkness without that it shines down on the living things, and the earth is as empty space without that it is a pedestal upon which have been placed the living things. Thus, even the least leaf of this tree is greater than all on the earth and the sun. For life is not of the earth mother, and life is not of Baal, but rather life is of them both, and great is the power thereof. Chapter the 6th. Verily I say unto you, is it not written, and each took this to be a sign, each in his own way? Which of you, having risen up, saying, this is truth, for I have seen it, will be followed? For even as ye have seen it, have not the others also seen it not? And where therein is the proof? Rather, that which is as a bright light unto one man is as but a thick cloud unto the other. For no man shall have truth, save that he shall also have awareness. Truth is as a bubble which dances in the air. Truly, it can be seen and the eye is aware of it, but it cannot be grasped by the hand nor possessed. Neither can it be given to you by anyone. Beware those men who say, "Follow my way, for mine is the way unto Baal, and there is no other way." Their numbers are great, and their voices are loud. They shall present much authority before you, and say, "We know our way to be the only way, for it is the way of our fathers." But take heed, lest you should fall into the trap. For awareness shall come unto no one, save it shall be in their own way, and it shall come unto no one, save they shall come unto it. Go ye, therefore, and seek after Baal, and make your way not after the way of other men, but after your own way. And go too to the fountain of awareness, which is in nature. Chapter the 7th. For what reasons is it that ye sit under the oak? Why is it that ye have come out together under the stars? Have ye come that ye might not be alone? If so, it is good. But verily I say unto you, many there are who have come together, yet remain alone. Do ye sit in the open that ye might come to know nature? If so, it is good. But verily I say unto you, many there are who have sat for hours and have risen up knowing less than when they sat down. Rather, in your coming together, seek to know in what way ye may help him who is next to you, and strive to act justly toward him. And in your sitting down in the fields of the earth mother, open your minds as well as your eyes. Let your meditation grow and branch out as the oak which is over your head. Except that ye have done these things, your sitting is in vain, and coming is futility. And why is it that ye stand up before others and speak unto them? Do ye teach unto them the ways of the ancient Druids? If so, it is good. For they had their wisdom, and that is oft forgot. But verily I say unto you, in their day, even they also were young in their traditions. The wise man is not constrained to learn only that which he is taught. Yea, even as there is time for talking, is there also time for no talking. In the silence of your being shall ye find that which is not of your being, and in the earth mother shall ye find that which is not of the earth mother. In Baal shall ye be made aware, and your awareness shall fill you. Ye shall be like the morning sun which has risen and whose brightness is already full, but whose path is yet ever upward. And the light of your awareness shall sweep before it all the shadows of your uncertainty. Then shall ye need wait no more, for this is the great end, and all else is but beginning. Chapter the 8th. When they come to you and then ask you, "After what do ye seek?" Then you shall answer them, saying, "Awareness," for this is the first lesson. For without awareness is there nothing which is. But in your seeking of awareness, seek it not alone, as separate from all else. For in seeking awareness ye shall find it not, and ye shall find it only in that ye seek it not. Seek ye therefore after Baal, for your awareness shall be in unity with Baal. And make first your search in the dominion of the Earth Mother, for the Earth Mother and Baal are not to be separated. Chapter the 9th. Behold, they shall come unto you scoffing and mocking the words that ye have spoken, and saying, "There is no thing at all which is this awareness. What proof do ye give of it?" And ye shall answer them in a parable, for this is the second lesson. There was a small village in which was produced the finest cheese in all the world. There was none other anywhere that was like unto it. And it came to pass that a traveler who was a merchant came to the village, for it was his desire that the finest of all foods should be served on his table. Wherefore he did seek out the makers of the cheese. But behold, when he was given a piece of the cheese, he did thrust it away from him, for he was offended by the foul smell thereof. For it was an exceeding foul smell indeed. And he said unto them, "I do not believe that the taste of this cheese can be good. for it doth have an odor which is foul like unto no other. And he was answered, Thou needest only to taste once of the cheese, and thou wilt see for thyself that it be good. But it came to pass that the merchant did go away again, having not partaken of the fine cheese. And he never did serve upon his table the finest of all cheeses, for he would not taste it, any of it. Verily I say unto you, in all the books of man is there not one word which can give you proof, even of the taste of a cheese. Chapter the 10th. And when they come unto you and say, And what then is the nature of this thing which ye do call awareness? Then shall ye give the answer unto them in silence. For this is the third lesson. For there is not one person who doth have awareness, save also that they are aware thereof. And they are like unto them whose eyes are filled with the glory of all things upon which the light of the sun has cast itself. But there are many, yea, it is greater the number, who in their unawareness are aware not even of their unawareness. And they are like unto them who are blind from the day of their birth, and see not, nor know what it is to see. But some there are who are aware only that they are also unaware. Hallowed are they, for they are the children of Baal. One of these is like unto them who keeps the vigil, for their gaze cannot pierce the mantle of darkness which is thrown over all the world about them. But they can rest secure in the knowledge of the return of day. In your awareness shall ye be as the moment of the rising sun, and your spirit shall rise up even as the bird flies up to meet the light which is above, but which, hidden by the mountain, has fallen not yet upon the earth below. Peace. Historiography of the Chronicles. Although David Frankwist was the primary author of the Druid Chronicles, Reformed, the following Druids made the following contributions. Howard Cherniack was the original formulator of the basic tenets, the Book of the Law, verse 5 and 6. Frankwist reprinted it in a poetic fashion. Catherine Curtis wrote the words to the Earth Mother song in Chapter 2 of Customs. It was put to music by Peter Basquin. David Fisher is the original author of the speech in Early Chronicles Chapter 7 and the ritual excerpts taken from the ordination of Second Order Druids found in Customs 3, verses 7 through 10. He also wrote the response at Samhain found in Chapter 7 of Customs. The three incantations of Customs, Chapters 9, 10, and 11, were translated from the original ancient Gaelic by Professor John Messenger, who was a visiting professor at Carleton. Norman Nelson composed the Praise of the Earth Mother piece, supposedly while working a night shift as a watchman at a cement factory. David Frankwist was not one of the original three founders of the RDNA, Fisher, Cherniack, and Nelson, but he came to Druidism a few weeks after it started and became close friends of the founders. Frankwist, and Nelson to some extent, were a powerful force permitting Druidism to outlive the chapel requirement. He spotted the important issues that Druidism dealt with, and he became determined to make Druidism last a bit longer. It is doubtful at the time of the writing of the Chronicles that he could have imagined just how long the reform would last. The Druid Chronicles cover the first year of Druidism under Fisher's Archdruidcy of April 1963 to April 1964, and during Norman's Summer Archdruidcy of 1964. It was an attempt to capture the moment for future nostalgia. David Frankwist would be the Archdruid from September 1964 until his graduation in 1966. Many peculiar aspects of Druidism in the Fisher era are preserved in the Chronicles, which would have been forgotten otherwise. On the Early Chronicles. This part of the Chronicle covers the period from April 1963 to June 1963, during which much of the ritual and hierarchy became established. The short-term obsession with altar building began at this time and would last until the decision to use an immovable boulder on the Hill of Three Oaks. On the Book of the Law. Despite the title, it is only the basic tenets, Law verses 5 and 6, that are mandatory requirements for organizational membership in Reformed Druidism. It is basically a rewording of the Carlton Grove's own constitution. Of course, to be a First Order in the spirit of Reformed Druidism, you also have to partake of the waters of life. and there is no ordination service actually prescribed for it. The basic tenets were very carefully formulated by Cherniak, with input from Fisher, to express the most basic beliefs of the RDNA, and they have proved to be remarkably efficient. Fisher's preoccupation with power is evident in verse 8. On the customs of the Druids, most of the ordination procedures are of Fisher's origin. The founders and Frankwist looked up the Celtic holidays from standard books on ancient Druids in the library. There is no compulsion to honor the holidays, of which the equinoxes are noticeably absent. An interesting dinosaur is found in chapter 8, where the election procedures of the higher orders are outlined. The most disputed verses, chapter 8, verses 13 through 15, have long been a sore point of Reformed Druidism, and the battles to remove them are amply discussed in the history of the Reformed Druids. On the Latter Chronicles. This covers a period roughly from September 1963 to June 1964, when the chapel requirement was formally rescinded by Carleton College. Interesting notes are the Druid curse, the prediction of President Kennedy's assassination, the first ordination of a Third Order Druid, soon followed by the founding of the higher orders. On the Book of Meditations. This has proved to be the most popular section of the Chronicles, especially as readings during the order of worship. The discussion of Baal is rare amongst the archives. The only other prominent documents are the apocryphal books of Thomas. On Frankwist's literary career. The Chronicles are the most popular Druid document and have provided a constant reminder of the reasons why the Reform was founded. Frankwist also was responsible for guiding of the early missionary efforts of the Reform, passing legislation, starting the Blue Book of Archives, and collecting the Green Book. He has also helped Druidism to revive at Carleton at least 3 or 4 times since he graduated. In essence, Frankwist put a firm stamp on Druidism from the period of 1964 to 1969, and acted as a resource for Archdruids ever since. See Volume 10 of Arda for an interesting transcript of the oral interview with David and Deborah Frankwist.
So ends Volume 1 of Arda 2, The Chronicles of the Foundation.